Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. This afternoon, we've got a first-timer on this edition of the program. We've got Damian Parson himself from the Draft Network. Dame, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's preseason football is over, and we got week zero out of the way for college football. So we're got to get into some real juicy, great matchups coming starting this weekend. So life is good, man.
How much of a break do you give yourself after May and after the draft and everything winds down for a little bit?
After the draft, for TDN, we typically we get a week or about a week or two to just kind of decompress after the draft because of the grind from literally summer scouting all the way till, to the actual draft event. And, once we come home, we take a little bit of time off, it's about a week or two. We still do some content, but in terms of watching film and things of that nature, we try to give our eyes, our brain, everything just time to just relax for a bit. Then we start summer scouting in the beginning of June, right before training camps and preseason. We all try to get our vacation in it as well, just to reset and get and really be real relaxed and fresh for another 10 month or so grind.
Absolutely. Have you ever watched a player so much on tape that he's popped up in your dreams?
I haven't had that. I've watched the guy so much to the point where I'm trying to type somebody else's name, whether it be a tweet, article, whatever. And that guy's name keeps popping up, and I'm like, I delete the tweet. I think that actually just happened to me recently, if I'm not mistaken. I got they had the same similar first names, different last name, but I've been talking about the other kid so much that I ended up typing his name out, and the clips didn't match, so I had to delete the tweet and redo it.
I mean, hey, I'm amazed by how you're able to keep all these guys together. I mean, one of the things that I think in college football that's changed, and it's just the nature of the beast, but I think I wonder what for you guys, where there's just so much movement that it's really, has your job gotten more difficult with the portal, with guys moving around and systems moving around? Because look, I'm not saying, let's all shed a tear for the sports writers for what's happened here. But I think, we can have the conversation that the portal is good for athletes and bad for sports writers. I think that's a fair assessment, where it's it's significantly more difficult for us to keep track of where everybody is and what systems everybody's running. Everything is, I think, a lot more jumbled. And I think it's just the casual fan has been X'd out of college football. I think it's really, really hard for a casual football fan who has an accountant day job to now keep track. You can't just get Phil Steele's annual and be ready to go, because there's just so many, and you're wait, who? Every year, there's just going to be so many guys moving around. But for you, because like we used to have this thing where you got to see a guy in the same system with the same staff for 3 years or whatever it was. Now you might see a guy play in three different systems over 3 years and then, oh, he's ready for the draft. And you're like, all right, well, I got to figure out who this guy is who's played in three different systems and I don't really know what he is. Have you found that to be the case?
No, 100%. And I think that's just the landscape of college football is an ever-changing beast. And with the transfer portal, it does make things a lot harder to keep up with, you know, because there's so many guys. You got the transfer portal and you got NIL, and those two things combined make it difficult to figure, okay, this kid was at Florida State last year, and you're prepping through, and, you know, you get your assignments. All right, summer scouting, I got to watch this kid. So, and you look at the spreadsheet and like, wait a minute, he's in Michigan? Like, you got to make sure that's not a typo, make sure that was correct. And then you look like, yeah, no, he transferred to Michigan. Like, so it's like you always have to, no matter what, like no matter what your preconceived notion was from the previous year, always like go always check the school rosters, you know, look up the kid's Instagram account, their Twitter account, everything. Because they especially Twitter, like they will post their transfer intentions and different things of that nature, typically on Twitter. So definitely always want to just keep stay updated. It's hard, but it's very well worth it because you don't want to go into a situation where you're supposed to be discussing a player and you put the wrong school and, you know, different things of that nature. You want to make sure that you're on point as much as possible.
There you go. Well, before we go any further, don't forget, folks, you can watch us on YouTube as we continue growing out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/ChaseTheMostPodcast. So you can watch this interview and every other episode of the Chase the Most Podcast there, and also Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, the Chase Holmes Podcast, every single day here on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Great interviews like this one right here with Dame. So make sure you're subscribed on your preferred podcast player. So Damien, I want to first start off. This is something that's extremely interesting to me because week one, right around the corner, week zero in the books, but I'll be in Neyland for the Thursday night affair against Ball State. I'm going to guess you're not going to watch a lot of tape from Tennessee Ball State on that one, but it'll be fun. Like we're going to score a lot of points. That'll be fun. And Tennessee's offense is a lot of fun that you, I'm sure, are quite aware of. But who do you already have your eye on? Like, the way I organize my weekend viewing is not the same as how Damien and the Draft Network guys organize their weekend. So who do you have already circled there? Like, I'm really, really excited to see this guy play week one.
Oh, man, I'm going to kick it off with, and most people probably tell you, I'm probably leading the charge for Anthony Richardson, quarterback out of Florida. A lot of the talk this preseason and the 2022 NFL draft class from a quarterback standpoint was, man, this class really isn't that good, right? And the 2023 class is much better. And to an extent, that is true. It's more so the 2023 class has a lot more physical talent. You know, you have, of course, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud at the top. Then you have Will Levis. You have Hendon Hooker. You have the young man from Stanford. Blanking on his name for some reason right now.
You're talking about the quarterback, Tanner McKee?
Yeah, Tanner McKee. And, of course, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. There's a lot of different guys that can really step up. It's no – like the battle for QB1 at the moment is a two-man race heading into the season. But it doesn't stay that way once we get halfway through the season, right? Like we're going to see one of these toolsy quarterbacks, whether it's Will Levis take a step or maybe even him and Anthony Richardson. But Anthony Richardson starts the season off against a good Utah team that plays good defense. They're well coached. And this is a team that people expect to be – some people predict them to be the Pac-12's first entry into the college football playoffs and into the four-team race at the end of the season. And having Billy Napier, new head coach, Dan Mullen's gone, and the uncertainty that he brought when it came to using guys properly. We saw he didn't use Texans rookie running back Damian Pierce nearly enough, and everybody will not forget that. So it's like now you have Billy Napier, who's extending a different level of confidence. Listen to Anthony Richardson talk about how the guys are eventually bought into what he was selling, and everyone has the lead from leadership on down in terms of the players. They're all in with Billy Napier, so it seems like a less toxic, more cohesive situation down in the swamp. And when you look at Anthony Richardson, man, the talent, he's 6'4", 6'5", 240 pounds. He runs a 4.5 in the 40. He has a rocket of an arm. He may have the best of the physical tools, in my opinion, in this class. Now he just has to go out and throw the ball at a high rate. You know, he's going to have a lot more opportunities being the full-time starter. There is no question about that. He stays healthy. Chase, I really feel like he's one of those guys that he puts it all together in 2022. It'll be a one-year true sample size, but he's going to be – he – and I think I said this on the Town Factor podcast, which is our college football podcast, and me and my guy Keith Sanchez host that you can find on, of course, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But we talked about when it comes down to, like, the quarterback situation, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, their two biggest rivals right now is Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, because these are the guys that the NFL typically looks at, right? Everybody's looking for Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. You know what I'm saying? And Anthony Richardson, to me, is very much so like a Cam Newton. Just I feel like from a passing standpoint, he has better mechanics and a better feel. So it's like when you got a guy that big, that fast, that physical, that explosive, and then he has the arm talent and the mechanics to throw accurately downfield and attack all three levels of the defense and really make you play 11 on 11 and cover each blade of grass, that's very, very difficult to game plan for. So I'm looking forward to watching him. I'm excited for this weekend, man. There's a lot of different guys. You know, Miles Murphy from Clemson, the edge defender, man. I'm extremely excited to see how he just kind of compounds and stacks up another great season. And yes, Will Anderson, you know, we all know that he is the top dog, you know, at the edge one position, but that edge two to me solely belongs to Miles Murphy. He has all of it. Over TDN, we kind of nicknamed him Trayvon Walker with bend. Like he can bend the corners and bend the edges, great length and power at the point of attack, good hand usage to defeat and deconstruct blocks and win the edges. And then he also has the ability to sell the outside path and then stab and go right inside of offensive tackle and cross face. So he's an interesting player as well, man, and a really, really good player. So those are some of the guys. It's a lot of guys I'm looking forward to seeing this week.
On the flip side, though, they're hosting Utah, right? So you've got Cam Rising coming in the building, former Texas kid. I'm curious, does he have any path to, I mean, a lot of people, they're the favorite to throw in for the Pac-12, finally back into the college football playoff after years away. And a lot of that stems from what Cam did. And he obviously beat out Charlie Brewer last year and was a really good player for Utah. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what he can do against Anthony Richardson, is there any path to him jumping into or just kind of rising up the ranks and becoming an NFL type quarterback? Or is that just unlikely for Rising?
No, I think he can. I think, you know, his tools aren't like he's not the most toolsy guy. He doesn't have the biggest arm or, you know, the most mobile or even the biggest frame, but he's a baller. He's a gamer, man. Like he comes in and he the energy and with his play, I think it's big. And you saw the difference when he took over the starting job last year. Utah's offense kind of just took off. They looked better. They had more energy. They looked more confident in what they were able to do. So I definitely, without a doubt, I believe that, like, he has, you know, and that's, again, it's a big showcase for him. You know, week one, you know, you walk into the Swamp and you got Trey Dean at safety. You have Avery Helms at corner. You got Miller at middle linebacker and Brenton Cox Jr. at edge and Gervon Dexter at interior defensive line. You have some guys that you have to be aware of and be prepared to face off against from that defense. And they know they can get to the quarterback. They can play good coverage. And they have versatile secondary as well. So, no, if he goes up there and he lights them up, and at the end of the day, it's an SEC team, and we know what that does, not just for the committee in terms of if they run the table and one of the teams they knock off is Florida to win the table and they go undefeated through the Pac-12, that's big. That to me, that almost pigeonholes them. Like, put that name in there as one of the top four, because you can say, oh, Cincinnati didn't beat a SEC team last year, but they made it to the playoffs. If Utah goes in and Cam Rising leads them to an undefeated season, and they knock off the Gators in Florida. Yeah, no, they you could go ahead and pencil them as a team that is for sure going to be one of the four teams in the playoffs. But this is an opportunity for him to just go out there, show his skill set, show that the moment's not too big for him. Because anytime, it's a 7 o'clock game too, like on the East Coast. Like, man, that's close. That's as close to prime time as you're going to get. You know, heading you know with college football. So absolutely, Cam Rising has a big chance to go out there and plant his flag and watch his name, watch that flag kind of raise up the flagpole.
With quarterbacks, I think it's so interesting because we've all just penciled in C.J. Stroud and, Alabama, and Bryce Young from Alabama going 1-2, right? Like, it's just penciled in. Like, they're the two for quarterbacks taken. It's like, we see this every year. That's not how it's going to go. It's not going to be that clean. One of those two are going to drop. We don't know which one of those two. But let me ask you, this is a two-parter. Of the two of them, who's more likely to dip come draft time next year? And of the first-round mock quarterbacks at Draft Network and what you guys have seen, who is most likely to start the year in that first round but to fall out of favor in that Sam Howell type zone?
Ooh. So first, the first part, when it comes to C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, the one thing that will impact this is going to be measurements, and it's going to be Bryce Young's measurements, right? Bryce Young has the arm talent. Like, he's extremely mobile. Like I don't think people realize just how quick and fast he is as a runner with the football. He's an improviser. He's not someone that you're going to run into the read option and QB power and veer and things like that with, but he's a guy that when things break down, he can make plays with his leg. He can extend windows. He can extend plays and create second reaction opportunities for his receivers and create a scramble drill. C.J. Stroud doesn't offer that as much. I feel like he can move. It's almost like he's reluctant to, so people peg him as just a pure pocket passer, right? But because of the fact that he is a bigger, you know, taller, longer arm, you know, quarterback, that you're like, okay, well, he drops back. He doesn't have to get a great amount of depth in the pocket on his drops to see over the offensive line. You won't have those questions with C.J. Stroud, right? So that's where, you know, because we at the end of the day, we know it doesn't matter how big you are. Like, they're going to be, I would say, traditionalists. They're like, okay, he doesn't meet the height requirement, right? Now, we do see the Kyler Murrays. We've seen the Drew Breeses. We've seen the different shorter spectrum quarterbacks, Russell Wilson's and those guys, but from a historical data standpoint, it's not a strong case. So if anybody out of those two, if any one of them were to drop, I think it would be Bryce. And when you look at the quarterbacks that that have been mocked in the first round, we've seen Tanner McKee in the first round. We've seen, of course, Anthony Richardson has made a couple of our mocks in the first round, and you know, different things like that. I think if any of the guys that have been mocked in the first round that could drop, I think for me, it would be Tanner McKee. McKee has a really strong arm. He's 6'6", big, tall, high hip, long leg guy. But from a mechanical standpoint, there's some things he's got to clean up, right? And a guy like him, he's not really mobile. He's a pocket quarterback. So typically with those guys, you have to have a strong interior line. I'm talking left guard, center to right guard to keep his lap clean, right? I call it putting the like you're at dinner and you put that napkin over the lap so you don't so you don't waste any food on your good pants. Like, that's what you have to do with more pocket style quarterbacks, right? We know Tom Brady's arguably the greatest of all time at quarterback, right? Tom Brady is not really extreme. He's not mobile, right? He's not a guy that's going to give you the run threat. He'll sneak up on you every once in a while and get a first down, but it's very rare. But the main thing with him is if you pressure him off the edge, Von Miller isn't Tom Brady's worst nightmare, right? Even though he can bend, he's got the explosive. That's not his worst nightmare. It's Aaron Donald. It's the prime J.J. Watts. Those guys that can collapse the pocket in his face and in his lap. With Tanner McKee being 6'6", being so long-legged and high-hipped, he overstrides with his lead foot, which causes the ball to dip, some inaccuracy in ball placement. He's got to learn how to throw with the changeup. I talk about with quarterbacks being a pitcher. Don't just be the fastball guy, because eventually, just like with batters, the defense is going to figure out the fastball. They're going to time it just right, and they're going to make that interception. They're going to make that pass breakup. It's going to be a tip drill. Your receiver's not going to be able to catch. Know how to change it up. Give me a changeup. Give me a slider, right? give me something else. Like, alter the speeds of your throws, and that will help him because he wasn't the best deep ball passer in college football last year as a result of that. He didn't know when to pull the string and just put touch rather than put so much steam on it. So those are the things that, to me, and he hasn't played a lot either, right? He played last year, but and the results were kind of up and down. Like I said, when things break down, he's not someone that he can shuffle and slide. But again, you have to make sure you protect the interior offensive line for him. And I just feel like his game isn't easily as translatable as others, right? Anthony Richardson, which we just did, if anybody wants to kind of watch us break down tape, me and my guy Ray G, on the Draft Network's YouTube page, just did a film session called Four Downs, which we started two weeks ago. We did Anthony Richardson this past Friday, and we showed there's a play on there against, I believe it was FIU, where they have a free runner, defensive tackles bearing down on him, and he jukes him and gets by him, right? And not only that, then he runs, jukes two more guys, stiffs arms a guy, and then hurdles a guy. And it was just like, it's those type of plays where it's like, yeah, Tanner McKee's not doing it. And it's like, when there's a free runner, he's nearly dead to rights. And it's like, those are the plays where defenses like guys like that in today's NFL. The defensive fronts, the front sevens are much smaller. You have more hybrid linebacker safeties. And when you start seeing these complex blitz packages where they're showing blitz from one side and they're dropping off, and here's the fire zone coming from the opposite side of the formation, and you got a free nickel, Tanner McKee's not the guy that's going to be able to evade or elude that. So it's like that's what defenses want. They want guys that can't get away from that guy. Like, and when you have a mobile quarterback, it makes things we use the phrase make things wrong right. And you know what I mean? So it's like the pass protection is wrong, the defense has everything right, but it's wrong for the offense. And then you have Josh Allen who can pirouette in the pocket, stiff arm a guy, reset his feet, and throw a 60-yard strike to Gabe Davis. And it was like, he just made everything that was wrong about that play right because we just scored. And that's what teams really are looking for nowadays. We see with Malik Willis and the splash plays he's made in this preseason. So if anybody was to fall out of the first round mocks to like the second, third, or possibly fourth round, I think it would be Tanner McKee.
Interesting. I like it. I've also, when Joel Klatt said on a podcast a few weeks ago where he was like, I think he compared Bryce Young to mini Aaron Rodgers. It was something I couldn't unsee, where like what you just described of just the freelancing and doing stuff on the run. And if he had Aaron Rodgers' size, like I think that'd be a pretty common comp, right?
Yeah, I would like that. He reminds me, Bryce, I mean, and some people say it's low hanging fruit, but he reminds me of a twitchier, quicker Russell Wilson. Where like I talked about just, when we were discussing McKee just now, there are plays where Bryce, I think it was in the Auburn, like the toughness that this kid bestows, man, Auburn pressured him 20 times. I think he was hit double digit times and sacked 7 times. He took a beating in that Iron Bowl game, but it's like, okay, I compare it to boxing. You're going to take your hits. But can you counter? Can you keep getting up, right? Like, I think back to the old Rocky films, he's going against, was it Dragoff or whatever, like the Russian. He's getting his block knocked out. He's getting his butt whooped. And it's like, I'm still getting up. And like, the Russians are like, this can't be possible. And he's in Russia. And the crowd kind of turns to Rocky side because, all right, this guy's got some, he's got some stuff about him. Like, and that's Bryce Young. Like, he's got that, like, he took that beating and he never wavered, like he kept throwing, he kept punching to the point where they're in the risk of losing this game. And he throws a beautiful pass to Ja'Cory Brooks down the right sideline, over the right shoulder in the front corner of the end zone at the pylon to take it into overtime. Then, of course, the famous whip route that John Metchie runs against Roger McCreary to end the game and to win that game for him. But we've seen quarterbacks. I mean, no shot to Sam Darnold. I hope he gets well because he's got the foot injury from this weekend's preseason game. But remember, he took a beating early in his Jets days, right? And when he starts seeing ghosts, and that's what happens with some quarterbacks. They're just not physically or mentally tough enough to take that pounding and keep punching. And Bryce Young can do that. So I like that. I feel like he's a quicker Russell Wilson. Like he can free runners, he can make guys miss, and he can extend the pocket. He's got a little, he's got even some of the improv. Like you see Brett Favre, good, you know, he's right-handed, but he's running to his right side. He's got somebody bearing down on him. He just like flicks it like a pitch with his left hand. It goes 7 yards to the closest receiver. They get the first down. He did that, I think, against Georgia. Like he's got some very strong improvisational skills.
When you look at how the draft unfolded this spring, where everybody went and watching some training camp, watching some preseason, which rookie or rookies do you think is in the best position to contribute right away and will be a really good player right away for his team?
Oh man, I'm gonna go to the Pittsburgh, and I know some people are gonna say Kenny Pickett. I'm gonna say George Pickens. Like George Pickens has been an absolute monster, right? It's crazy when people see him and he sells his release on run plays, and then he just runs up and just bodies the corner because he's blocked. He did that at Georgia, like all the time. Like he did it all the time. He did it against Michigan to Dax Hill, who's the star, which I'll talk about in a second, the star rookie over there in Cincinnati. But you know, looking at the receiver situation, you got Deontay Johnson, you have Chase Claypool, you drafted Calvin Austin, but that other spot's been open, and I think that's why they drafted him. Now there was some concerns about his maturity, but from a game standpoint, he's got the explosiveness, he's got the speed to win vertically. He's a solid route runner as well. I think I like his routes, his ability to get in the blind spot and work DBs and man coverage, and then at the end of the day, his catch radius, his ball skills, be able to track the ball downfield, attack it at its highest point, climb the ladder. I always say with guys like that, you know, the phrase I always use is you throw it where the kids can't get it, you know, like, and you know what I'm saying? So it's like you put it where these smaller DBs can't play with him and play basketball on those alley-oop plays. Like, yeah, you know, you can jump, but you're going to get dunked on. And that's kind of the situation with him. So he's a willing blocker. He's tough. He's physical. Got great hands. He's got the total package to be a wide receiver one in this league. And I think he's in the perfect situation to come out early. Because I don't think, even with the way that he played in the preseason, I don't think teams are going to put their number one corner on him. They're going to go to the more refined guy. The guy has proven himself for the past couple of years that they just paid, and that's Deontay Johnson, right? Because he's a route runner. He's quick. He's explosive. The one thing you don't want is cornerback two or three that isn't well-equipped to cover him, to then man-to-man him, and you try to put your top guy on Pickens, and then he goes off. So Pickens may have to earn some of that respect from defenses, but I think he's in a great situation to thrive. And then I just talked about Dax Hill. You know, Jesse Bates, he's returned to the team, came back to the organization, signed his free agent tender, you know, because he knows he's not going to get it. 9 times out of 10, he just watched Derwin James break the bank at safety. Cincinnati has to pay Joe Burrow. They have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to have to figure out the T Higgins situation. They got a lot of people they're going to have to pay. Jonah Williams is going to come up on the contract soon, like at left tackle. They're going to have to pay different guys. And because of that, Jesse Bates, 9 times out of 10, is not getting them, is 9.5 times out of 10, is not going to get paid by the Cincinnati Bengals what he wants. Now, if he's willing to take a team friendly deal, sure, I don't see that happening personally. But I think it's going to be a situation where he's like, you know what? I am not doing it. I'm going to play this season out. God forbid, I'm praying that he stays healthy all season so he can go into the offseason. Maybe they trade him to a team that says, hey, we need to add this high profile piece in our secondary. He gets paid. But because of that, Daxton Hill, who anybody that watched him at Michigan, he is a do it all safety. He can play the single high. He can play split zone safeties where it's two of them in the back and play cover two deep. He can come down in the nickel. He even plays. He's got the tools to play outside corner as well. And then, of course, he's in a tremendous blitzer off the edge as a defensive back. He will lay the lumber to unaware quarterback. So he has a lot of those things that are very translatable. And he's been making plays this preseason. So even with Jesse Bates there, I think Von Bell's their strong safety. Do not be surprised to see a lot of Daxton Hill or Dax Hill on the field, even with those other two veteran safeties on the field as well.
I like it. We'll end on this, Damon. So when you look at the undrafted lists here, undrafted rookies. Who did you like coming into the draft? You were like, they probably won't get drafted, but I'm really interested to see where they get on with. Who was the one that you liked watching their tape, watching their film in the college game, and then where they ended up that you're like, I think this undrafted player is going to be good? Who do you think it is?
There is a couple of different guys, of course, but I would say off the top of my head right now, like, I like, and I mean, I don't know how much he's going to play once the top guy returns from being healthy, but I like Jaylen Warren. I was a big Jaylen Warren fan, running back out of Oklahoma State that went undrafted, he signed with the Steelers, and he's had a good preseason as well. Mm-hmm. And I've really liked what I've seen from him because he's just really – he's tough. He's physical. He's got some twitch and juice in his game. He's got a compact, dense bell. Got some long runs and quick feet. And for an offense or running back room where it's Najee Harris, Benny Snell, Anthony McFarlane, I think Jaylen Warren could definitely carve out a role. And especially, I think the injury I heard was a sprained Liz Frank for Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. Liz Franks, period, are never good.
Yeah.
So, like, to hear, like, it's like saying, like, oh, yeah, he's got a mild concussion. No, he's got a concussion. You know what I mean? So, it's like, it's interesting to see how they, because I don't think he's played or practiced much since the injury in terms of Najee Harris. So, if for some reason he's in doubt to start the season, I think Jaylen Warren has earned not just a roster spot, but earned some quality reps.
I like it. I like it. Damien, what can the good folks check out from you on the podcast front, the writing front over at the Draft Network this week?
Man, I'll be dropping a video talking about my 5 preseason stars, rookie stars, or just preseason stars all around, guys that really stood out to me this preseason.
Give us a tease. Give us one.
Malik Willis from Tennessee.
Okay.
Tennessee Titans, man. He was my QB1 coming in. We just talked about with the QB battle for this year. Like, yeah, you can go safe, but if you see a guy like Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, they have a great season, it's really going to be hard to say, man, those tools are really hard to pass up. And you see what Malik's been able to do. So that's one of the guys on my list. But I have that coming. It's week one. So me and Keith. Well, like I said, we host the Talent Factor Talent Factor Football Podcast. So we're covering the college football season, and so we got our preview show coming up. Like I said, find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I haven't figured out what I'm going to actually write about. I actually do know what I'm going to end up writing about. It's going to be more so just picking one of the – because we do pro scouting too. So pick one of my NFL teams and do 3 keys to their week 1 matchup.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I haven't figured out the team yet, but that's probably what I'm in.
Falcons don't start Jalen Mayfield. Might be right.
That is definitely something that they should not do. Unfortunately, he has not shown the reliability. And you want to protect, you got talented quarterbacks with the veteran Mariota and then the young kid Desmond Ridder, who have shown some really good flashes of arm talent, accuracy, ball placement, mobility, clutch gene, kind of like toughness, all of those things. So they have a really good situation.
That's good to hear as a Falcons guy.
Yeah, I like what they have.
Kyle Pitts for a full year this year with Drake London and company is going to be. Kyle Pitts in my life is just is a really nice thing. As someone who despises the University of Florida, just having him on the Falcons is nice now. I can root for the unicorn. So it's going to be fun. Yeah. It is weird, though, still with the college numbers for NFL guys with the number 8 tight end. And like, yes. I'm still not really used to seeing stuff like that. Wide receivers, it was pretty easy. Like, wide receiver doesn't affect me, but like, it's kind of jarring to see a tight end with number 8. Like, it's still weird.
It's even worse seeing defenders. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see a linebacker with the number 2 or 12, and it's just like, bro, what is going on?
College, you know they're doing the same number. You can have the same number if you're offensive. That makes it even more.
Yeah. Like, it makes it even more difficult a lot of times. You just have to know, you have to pay attention to body types and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it's like I said, we are here at week 1 of the college football season. A lot of great games set up this week to really kind of set the stage for how this season is going to go. the rankings, I just expect the rankings to be all over the place in college football this season, because there's a lot of talent around the country. And USC, shout out to Lincoln Riley and those guys over there. That's going to be an explosive offense. I know a lot of people are penciling in Utah, but I feel like they do not overlook what USC has offensively. Defensively, we got to see what they bring. They got some guys that, on the defensive side of the ball, they have some young guys. But if they take that step, it'll be really helpful. But offensively, the firepower, the quarterback play, the play caller, it's all set up for them to average 42 points a game this season.
I mean, look, the Apple Cup's going to be must-see. Michael Penix Jr. versus the JUCO transfer, what's his name, Ward?
Cam Ward. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Connor Ward, listen, another guy's got kind of that 3/4 inch type of release, and he can sling it, and it's going to be an adjustment, of course, going from Incarnate Word to the Pac-12. But, once he gets the timing and his feel down, I think that offense is going to put up some points.
I like it. Well, don't forget, folks, check us out on YouTube. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff. If you enjoyed our conversation today, new episodes every single day here on this very feed. Leave us a 5-star rating, interview, and tell us why you liked Damian being on this very program. And go subscribe to the good folks over there at the Draft Network as well, if you have not already done so. Damian, thank you so much for the time today, and we'll have to check back in again soon.
Yes, sir.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.